This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Over the past 20 years, Florida has protected more than 2.4 million acres of land through a program called Florida Forever and its predecessor, Preservation 2000. For years, these programs received substantial funding from the Florida legislature, averaging $300 million a year in appropriations, until 2009, when that funding dropped to between $8 and $17 million per year. Then the Florida Water and Land Legacy Amendment passed in 2014 with 75% of the vote. It provides funding for a variety of water and land protection measures, including conservation payments to landowners. Yet Florida Forever funding has been zeroed out by the Florida legislature over the past 3 years. So we thought it would be a good time to get a history lesson on the Florida Forever program and other efforts to acquire land for conservation here in the Sunshine State. I'm joined first by Will Aberger. He is the director of the Trust for Public Lands Conservation Finance Service. He joins us by phone from Tallahassee, where he just attended the Senate Appropriations Committee meeting about Florida Forever and Land Acquisition Trust Fund. Will, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm also joined by Lindsay Stevens. She's the Land Program Manager with the Nature Conservancy. Lindsay, thanks for your time today.
Sure thing, Julie. Appreciate the opportunity to be here.
We're talking about the history and future of land conservation in Florida. If you'd like to join our conversation, you can give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag of GCL. So first, Will, start off by telling us a little about your history with the Florida Forever program. You were part of the initial efforts to get it started, right?
Yes, actually, my involvement goes back even further than that, working with the legislature in 1998 and 1999 to pass the Florida Forever Act, and then I've had the great honor and privilege of directing the campaign to pass Amendment 1 in 2014.
So is it really one of the nation's largest legislatively inactive state conservation land acquisition programs?
Yes, it is. The Trust for Public Land has been involved in a number of state land conservation funding efforts. The ones that come close are Minnesota, where we passed a constitutional amendment in 2008, but that's $7.5 billion over 25 years. The Water and Land Conservation Amendment is projected to generate about $22 billion over the 20-year life of the amendment.
So then today there was a Senate Appropriations Committee meeting. What happened there?
So the Senate Appropriations Committee was reviewing funding that comes under Amendment 1 from the state's real estate transfer tax and having a discussion about how they want to appropriate that funding in the budget next year.
Did they make any decisions?
They did not. You know, this is the legislative session does not actually convene until January, so that's when they'll actually start making decisions. But we're seeing some new movement in terms of restoring funding for Florida Forever. Senator Bradley from the northeast part of the state has filed a bill that would dedicate $100 million from the Land Acquisition Trust Fund for Florida Forever.
Is that something that's feasible in the current political climate in Tallahassee? I mean, are things kind of changing?
We think things are changing. You know, we've been reminding legislators since the amendment passed that their constituents support this very strongly. The statewide total was 75% yes on Amendment 1, but in some parts of the state, you know, they were up in the 80-85% yes vote. So this is something that, that Floridians understand in terms of protecting our water and our land, and they want the legislature to do that. We've been trying to bring that message to the legislature, and I think we're finally starting to make some headway.
So Governor Rick Scott came out and said that he wants $50 million going towards this, and then you have, as you mentioned, Senator Rob Bradley looking for $100 million in funding. How do you feel about $100 or lesser $50?
Relative to the need that's out there in our state, you know, now that we're out of the recession and growing again with thousands of people moving to our state every day, the demand is even greater to protect our last remaining natural areas before they're lost forever to development.
Yeah, well, it seems like it's kind of a drop in the bucket compared to the early days of the program.
Yes. We would like to see funding back at historic levels, but we're heartened by the fact that we're beginning to finally see some movement by the legislature in that direction.
Yeah, still better than zero.
Yeah, definitely. And much better than zero.
Yeah. So, Lindsay, can you give us a broad view of Florida Forever?
Well, at the broad level, Florida Forever, a lot of folks think about it strictly as large tracts of land that are set aside for conservation purposes, more wildlands. But quite honestly, it's a very vibrant program that includes absolutely large-scale conservation lands that are, you know, passive in use. But there are certainly some components of the funding that are used for more active-type recreation and for park and public spaces in more urban areas through the Florida Communities Trust Grant. And there are some pretty rich, larger-scale agricultural conservation easement programs through rural and family lands that are also a component of the funding. So truly, for folks out there in their communities, I'm willing to bet that certainly there is a Florida Forever-funded public space, whether it's a more active park space or conservation lands that are rich in abundant wildlife and other natural resources. These lands are certainly close to where they live in their communities, and if they're not aware of these particular resources, they can certainly have access to them and find out about them through the state websites and through a lot of the conservation partners' websites as well.
It kind of feels like the public perception of conservation land is the wild lands far away from where anybody would even see them, you know? So it's interesting that you're pointing out that these are kind of interspersed throughout populated areas. The website that you mentioned, is there a map there that kind of shows little plots of lands in different areas?
Certainly, through the Department of Environmental Protection's Division of State Lands website, there's a ton of resources on there that folks can access through the web and find out about specific projects that have been funded in their particular jurisdiction. Florida has such a rich history of conservation that dates back into the early 60s, and quite frankly, even before that, we've been a leader in conservation and land planning throughout the decades. And so the 75% support that we found back in 2014 is, I guess it might be surprising for folks to hear about that level of support, but for those familiar with Florida history, people come to Florida because of its really vibrant natural resources that support our economic growth and economic development in the state. So this, you know, we've been a leader in this area, and we certainly hope at the Nature Conservancy in the Florida chapter, and I know that the Trust for Public Land would agree with this, we hope that Florida steps back into that leadership role moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of seems contrary to who gets elected. I mean, you have a Republican-dominated government in the state, and then you have people coming out overwhelmingly in support of the environment. So it's an interesting duality there. But then you have people, like you mentioned, that move here, that once they get here on land that's been developed, they don't want it to be developed anymore.
Well, and I would just note that land conservation is really, it crosses all political bounds. It is an important factor in maintaining economic vibrancy for the state and for our local communities. We're not going to attract new business. We're not going to retain current business if we don't have a healthy place for the folks that work at those businesses to live, if there aren't vibrant communities. And a major component to a healthy community are healthy conservation areas that do include all levels and all scales of conservation land, whether you're talking about a large-scale, more passive wild land versus an integrated park system into our urban areas. And I would also note, Florida Forever does support economic development in our state as it supports our really substantial agricultural interests here in the state, and it protects our agricultural lands, our ranch lands, our citrus groves from urban and suburban encroachment.
Mm-hmm. And then Will Abberger from the Trust for Public Land, I wanted to ask you, how is Florida Forever funded?
Yeah, Florida Forever is funded from what in Florida is called the documentary stamp tax. It's actually a real estate transfer tax. When you purchase a piece of property in Florida, a very small percentage of that, it's about 7 cents on $1,000, goes to the state. And what voters did with the Amendment 1 in 2014 is say 33% of those funds that come in every year should be dedicated to land conservation, management, and restoration.
So then how did Florida Forever get zero in funding for 3 years?
Well, it's a question of how the legislature has interpreted that constitutional amendment. Some very good things that are entirely consistent with the amendment, such as Everglades restoration and protection of our springs in North Florida and North Central Florida, has been funded out of Amendment 1 and the Land Acquisition Trust Fund. But they haven't yet seen their way to funding for the Florida Forever program that Lindsay and I have been talking about. And just one other point on the nonpartisan nature of land conservation in Florida. Lee County, as we've been discussing, voted overwhelmingly for Amendment 1. It also voted in 2016 83% to continue the Conservation 2020 program there in Lee County, and was a county that also voted for President Trump in the presidential election. So we really don't think voters, Republicans, Democrats, independents alike, all support land conservation.
Yeah, it is an interesting thing to note. We are discussing land conservation in Florida during this part of the show, and I'm joined by Will Abberger and from the Trust for Public Land and also Lindsay Stevens from the Nature Conservancy. If you'd like to become part of this conversation with a comment or a question, give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. So, Will, let's talk about that 2014 amendment, the Florida Water and Land Legacy Amendment. It passed 75% of the vote. What exactly did it say? I mean, it sounds like it set up Florida Forever, but then didn't require that the money went to that?
Well, what the amendment does is it dedicates that funding constitutionally from the real estate transfer taxes we discussed. So there's that connection between growth and development and conserving lands. And basically puts it in a lockbox and says the legislature can only spend it for acquisition, restoration, improvement, management of conservation lands. And so we wouldn't even be having this debate about funding things like Everglades restoration or springs or Florida Forever had Florida voters not approved that amendment in 2014.
Mm-hmm. But did that amendment stipulate that any certain percentage of the funding has to go towards the land preservation, or just kind of put it all there and it can go towards land preservation, Everglades restoration, and protecting springs?
It did not say what those percentages were.
Okay.
You know, when we're talking about the state constitution here, Julie, and in the constitution, we can dedicate funds like this, but if we tried to make an amendment to the constitution that actually told the legislature how they could have appropriated the funding, that would have been rejected by the Supreme Court and never gotten to the ballot.
Yeah, it wouldn't have made it. You can't get,
yep.
You can't split too many hairs when you're talking about the constitution. So
exactly.
What exactly is the Land Acquisition Trust Fund?
So the Land Acquisition Trust Fund is where that 33% of the real estate transfer tax goes every year, and it's a restricted fund that can only be used for these purposes. And that's the debate that was going on at the Senate Appropriations Committee today: is how do we want to allocate funding? How much for Everglades? How much for springs? And this year, how much for Florida Forever?
Mm-hmm. So how much money is actually sitting in that account right now? Do you know?
So it varies from year to year. The projections this year are about $826 million will be coming into the Land Acquisition Trust Fund.
Do they leave a certain amount in there so that it can grow?
No, but those funds are appropriated every year. Part of it goes to pay the debt service, to service the debt on the bonds that we previously issued for the Florida Forever program, and then the rest of it is available, again, for land conservation, restoration, and management.
Okay. So, Lindsay, what are the ways that the Nature Conservancy is working to preserve land outside of the scope of Florida Forever? Are there other avenues?
Certainly. There are other funding sources at the federal level, sometimes with private partners. And so we have certainly been working within that context while Florida Forever funds have been unavailable. Most recently, we've had quite a bit of success on our Panther Corridor work. We only have approximately 180 of these wildcats here in Florida currently, and they require a lot of space.
They really do.
Males have territories up to 200 square miles, which is about the size of Disney's Magic Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And a single female, has a home range of 75 miles. So they need a lot of space, and they like to, or they're currently living in a part of Florida where a lot of folks, lots of people like to live too. And so the panther's habitat is being encroached upon by roads and suburban development, as one would expect. TNC has been working recently within the past decade in the dispersal zone. And this is actually the area outside of the primary and secondary panther habitat in the southern, southwestern part of the state.
Mm-hmm.
And the dispersal zone allows panthers to move kind of north and south into habitat, ultimately up into central Florida and beyond, and allows them to expand their territory.
Yeah, well, if you're going to try to get their population to grow, you're going to need to disperse even further.
Yes, and you need females to grow a population, as one would expect, biology 101.
Mm-hmm.
And so getting female panthers north and north of the Caloosahatchee River has been something that's eluded all of the partners, our federal, state partners and private partners, for decades, and we've suspected that females have been moving north and south through the state. And in recent years, we actually have photographic proof, if you will, of that happening. So the Nature Conservancy has been working with our members or our private donors to raise funds so that while some public funding is not available through Florida Forever, and we've been lucky enough to have some federal funding come through, we've most recently secured a 460-acre piece of property north of the Caloosahatchee River in Glades County. We've secured a conservation easement on it, and this property has evidence of panthers moving through it, and the female panthers that have evidence of moving north of the Caloosahatchee River have been, that evidence has been found in the area of this most recent acquisition. This property is a privately owned citrus grove that is currently active. There's Valencia and Hamlin oranges that are being raised on the site. And this links up really nicely to prior work that the Nature Conservancy has been involved in with our private donors, but also through our public partners at the federal level.
Mm-hmm. And so that grove is going to continue to operate. So it's kind of a private-public partnership?
Well, what it is we've secured a conservation easement on that particular piece of property. So the Nature Conservancy holds the easement. The property will remain as a working citrus grove or working ag. The property owner has the option of switching over to row crops or other type of agricultural activities. But the property will not be developed into homes. It will not grow a gas station at any point in the future.
And I'm going to suggest avoiding livestock. Probably not a good idea.
And, and it's interesting because the other Panther Corridor work that we've been involved in south of the river, and the state has been actually involved and providing some funding that's been leveraged with federal dollars as well, are active ranch properties that conservation easements have been purchased and held by state and federal agency partners. So you have large-scale working ranches at Lone Ranger Forge and the American Prime property, which is a relatively large parcel of just over 1,200 acres. Mm-hmm. And then another contiguous piece called Black Boar Ranch, which is just over 1,500 acres,
mm-hmm.
another conservation easement on an active cattle ranch. Okay, and well, we received support from the U.S. Department of Agriculture for that easement.
Well, I'm going to bring in another voice for our conversation. Now, this is Kathy Olson. She is the Conservation Lands Manager with Lee County Parks and Recreation. And we're going to localize this issue a little bit more with a look at the county's Conservation 2020 program. Kathy, welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Thank you.
So can you give me an overview of the Lee County Conservation 2020? How did that come about?
Sure. The program started in 1996. It was started by a group of dedicated grassroots individuals who pitched the idea, and the Board of County Commissioners at that time made it happen. It went to referendum, and the public overwhelmingly supported it. And then through the years, conservation land has been acquired and managed, and public access has been provided at key locations, largely using Florida Communities Trust grants, which we heard about a little earlier, through the Florida Forever program. The size of the parcels ranges anywhere from very small parcels, 4 acres, that protect key streams and watersheds, up to our largest, which is the Lee County portion of the Babcock Ranch Preserve called Bob James Preserve.
Mm-hmm. There's also the 6 Mile Cypress Slough. Was that acquired by Conservation 2020?
Portions of the 6 Mile Cypress Slough Preserve were purchased by the Conservation 2020 program, but the original portion of the slough, the portion that most people know, was one of the county's first environmental acquisition programs. Conservation 2020 is actually almost the third program that the county has had for land acquisition. Most people can identify with the Conservation 2020 program, which now has roughly 25,000 acres, but about 5,000 acres were acquired before that through several different acquisition phases.
So Conservation 2020, how do you identify what lands are targets for things that you would like to have acquired?
Sure. Well, we have criteria that were developed by the CLASAC, the Conservation Lands Acquisition Advisory and Stewardship Committee, and approved by the Board of County Commissioners, that looks at different types of natural communities and flowways and water resources and recreational potential, and looks at each individual property that comes through the program and ranks them, and then decides whether it's something that fits into the program. That way, the criteria are balanced so that it will allow small parcels that are super important, as well as large disturbed parcels that are more important from a landscape perspective.
Kind of like the watershed, that's really critically important. I've got a list in front of me here of
Correct. The
things that this program does. It's more than just acquiring land for protection. It seems like the staff writes and implements land management plans, including GIS mapping, which outlines the land management activities that each site's going to undergo in order to enhance the natural communities and wildlife habitat. The land management activities also include many types of restoration projects, like exotic plant and animal control, those invasive species we hear about all the time, hydrologic restorations, prescribed fire and plantings, different kinds of fire mitigation type plantings. There's a lot more to it than just buying land and letting it sit there, it sounds like.
Absolutely. We're pretty aggressive in grant writing and restoration projects, and a lot of our restoration projects have been water-based, which allows the county to gain total maximum daily load credits for some of our projects. We've done projects that really help out the Caloosahatchee and some of our other imperiled watersheds. No one project can fix everything, but there are all the projects additively, you know, make a difference for the overall conservation land in the county.
It's interesting because it seems like there are so many different efforts on so many different levels, and I wanted to turn now back to Will Abriger from the Trust for Public Land. How closely do you work with programs like Conservation 2020 and smaller local efforts like this?
Yeah, very closely. As we were just discussing, you know, having that state matching fund is so critical for local programs like Lee County's programs. But there are about 20 similar programs in counties around the state that are overseen by local citizens together with their county or city government. And they've been very successful in partnering with the state, as Lee County has, to protect those critical natural areas before they're lost.
Well, would you say that there's kind of a notable difference between the 20 counties that have these types of conservation programs in place at the county level versus counties that don't have that?
I would, yes, but I would also say that, you know, because of the legacy of conservation in the state of Florida that Lindsay pointed out, if you think about any of the state parks that are in the southwest part of the state or any of the local parks, there's probably been some state funding and some local funding in almost all of those. So it's really important for all parts of the state.
Yeah. And Lindsay, how closely do you work with groups like Conservation 2020?
We do work with local communities. We partner at all levels, similar to the Trust for Public Land. And we really are just looking at where the need is and where the desire is to partner, quite honestly. We also look to partner with the private sector if the opportunity were to present itself. So similar to other conservation organizations, we look to partner, and we absolutely see this as requiring partnerships. No one agency, no one nonprofit can do this work alone.
Exactly. And I wanted to ask, before we run out of time, we're almost out, I want to ask each one of you. Lindsay, what is on the Nature Conservancy's upcoming land acquisition agenda? Do you have anything that you have your eyes on?
Well, absolutely. We are certainly looking to continue our Panther Corridor work northward into Central Florida. And actually, there are some priority Florida Forever projects, including Fish Eating Creek, that we would love to see happen. And having Florida Forever funding that we could leverage with other funding sources could really be impactful at this point in time. But we do have priorities throughout the state.
Yeah, I'm sure. And then, Kathy, is there anything on the horizon for Conservation 2020 in Lee County that you want to give us a heads up about?
Well, I think the most exciting one is the almost 4,000 acres that we should close on in mid-December, known as Edison Farms. That's near Bonita and Estero. Just beautiful hydric flatwoods and cypress. And that's been coveted by the Board of County Commissioners, and it looks like it's going to happen. So we're really excited about that.
Yeah, that was a deal that went through right after Hurricane Irma. I remember that.
That's correct.
And Will, I wanted to ask you before we leave, how do you feel about this upcoming legislative session? Do you feel like Senator Rob Bradley's proposed $100 million might make it through?
I think we've got a better chance this session than we have since Amendment 1 was passed in 2014. There's support from Representative Caldwell as well in your neck of the woods. He introduced legislation in the House last year that actually passed out of the House that would have, again, dedicated substantial funding for Florida Forever. And we're confident that Representative Caldwell will show some leadership in the House again this year. And so if we have a House bill and a Senate bill and the governor proposing funding, even if it's not quite at the level we would like to see, that's real progress.
Yeah, well, we're just in the beginning, and there's time for numbers to change up or down. So we'll just kind of keep an eye on it and see what happens. That's all the time we have for our show today, for this part of the show anyway. I want to thank our guests. Will Abinger is the director of the Trust for Public Lands Conservation Finance Service. Thank you so much for being part of the conversation, Will.
Well, it was great to be on, and would urge your listeners to contact their legislators and tell them how important funding for Florida Forever is.
All right. Thank you so much. And also, Lindsay Stevens is the land program manager with the Nature Conservancy. Lindsay, thank you for talking with us today.
Thank you so much, Julie. This is an important subject, and I'm glad you spent some time on it.
It really is. And last but not least, of course, Kathy Olson with Conservation Lands Manager with the Lee County Parks and Recreation. Thank you so much for your time today, Kathy, and talking with us about Conservation 2020.
Thank you so much. Happy to do it.
Coming up, FGCU is offering an innovative new integrated studies major. John Davis will be in the host seat for a discussion about how that program is helping the university address its low graduation rate. We'll be right back.